Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev Daf Nun Ches. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Nazayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein Moidedin El Belchevel Shel Nun Amud. So how long is that rope, the one that's going to be used to calculate the territory around the city for the sake of Tchum Shabbos? It's meant to be a chevel, a rope, which is 50 amas long. Lo yipachas lo yoser. None less or longer than that. The Gemara will give us the reason for that. V'lo yimdid el kineged liboy. Where is one meant to hold the end of that rope? Opposite his heart. Chacham establishes as a set place, a set location to place the end of the rope. This will ensure a uniform result because all will keep it in this position and keep the rope level. Because otherwise, say if a person holds it up high and the other person down below, it's going to be not level and the boundary will actually be shorter than it's meant to be. This will achieve improper and inaccurate results. So we're meant to keep it all on the same level. Everybody's meant to hold it opposite their heart, which will ensure a level rope and accurate response, accurate results. Continues the Mishnah. So this person is measuring along, he leaves the city, and he encounters a canyon, a deep canyon. Gadar generally means a fence. Rashi here describes it as a chaimas avanim shenafla, a collapsed stone wall. So now we have this heap. So it's either above ground or below ground. You have some sort of steep incline. So it's not an area which is a proper walking area. Therefore, we apply leniency here. So if it's just level surface, certainly you're meant to measure it properly, as is, meant to cover the entire surface. But when we have a steep incline, a surface which is angled in a manner where it does not provide a proper makom hilach, in this case, we don't need to actually measure the surface area of the incline itself. We suffice with merely calculating the airspace of that area. So Hayamaidid Vigil Lagai encountered this deep pit, this canyon, or Lagadar, or this mountain, this heap of stones. Mavliyai. All he needs to do is to swallow it. So he has this rope of 50 amma. He runs it right across the canyon, thereby only taking into consideration the airspace of the canyon. That's enough. He can ignore the actual slope itself. There's no need for him to measure the surface area of this steep incline. So whether we're speaking of the canyon or this heap, this mountain, you just run your rope right across it, calculate the airspace, and he comes back to his calculation. These two words, have added meaning, as Rashi will explain. Likewise, if he reaches a har, higel a har, a steep mountain, mavliyoi v'chozlo medasoi, he does the same thing. He just swallows it in, includes it into the 50 yama rope, meaning just have to account for the airspace, not for the surface area of the actual incline itself. Let's take a look at Rashi inside here. 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud, beginning with the word masnisin. So we have this rope 50 amas long. The Gemara Mefarish Taima will give us the reason for that. V'liyim did el kineged liboy. He's meant to hold it by his heart. Kavol lechacham emokayim losam kineged reish hachevel. Chacham established for him a set place where to place the tip of the rope to make sure that it stays level throughout. Shloitin zeh kineged savoroi v'zeh kineged raglov, to ensure that one fellow won't place it by his neck and one down by his feet. So a non-leveled rope will actually cover less ground and result in smaller sized boundaries. So we want to keep it level to ensure proper results. Now if he encounters some sort of steep incline, just include it, swallow it into the rope. What does that mean? So if this canyon is narrower than 50 amas from ridge to ridge. Afal bisha yesh medroinai hiluch yoisim apayim. Even if the actual surface of the incline is more than 2,000. We don't take that into account, include it into the total of the tchum. You don't have to calculate the actual surface area of that incline. Ella, yamed al svasim mikan. It was al svasim mikan. One fellow stands on one side of the canyon, the other person on the other side. They just swallow the entire surface area using just this one rope. So as long as it could fit into a 50 yama rope, you're okay. The same thing applies with legader, echemes avarim shenafla. This collapsed heap of stones, v'nasa gal gavoya, meshupa. It's a high heap of stones and it's slanty, ubnei adam mahalchan olav, on which people sometimes walk on it. So it's not a proper walking area. And therefore, all you need to do is to account for the airspace. And the Mishnah says, he's mavliya, but then he's chayzil l'midase. What does that mean? He goes back to his midah. The Gemara Farish, the Gemara explains as follows. The fact that the Mishnah mentions these words, mashma, it seems to indicate that the following thing took place. Let's say this fellow who's calculating the tchum heads out of the city, and right before him he sees this deep guy, this canyon. Problem is, he can't be mavliya because it's wider than 50 amma, which is beyond the reach of his rope. He can't do that. Now he takes a look at this side, he runs his eyes along the canyon, he sees, look, off to the left, it's getting narrower than 50. So it's going to be not in front of the city, off to the side. There's no problem. He can go ahead and find that location. Location where he sees the canyon allows him to run the rope across. And he does the havlo over there. And continues calculating, measuring from the pit, from the canyon, a bit further. He has to go a bit further. Why? Because he can't just come right back. Because he's going to encounter this wide canyon in front of the city. Right? The canyon has a wide portion right in front of the city. So, although he went off to the left and hopped over the narrow portion of the canyon there, but he must continue a bit, proceed until he sees that he's already past the point which is opposite the wide portion of the canyon, which is right in front of the city. And this allows him to come back and resume his line of calculation, which has already begun when he left the city. He comes back opposite the city. He proceeds and concludes the midah of the tchum that he had begun counting when he left the city. So that's the pshat mavliya. Number one, he can go ahead and swallow it into the 50 amma rope, just to count for the airspace. And he can do it even if he has to go off to the side. So he can do it there and come back and resume his calculations. Continues the Mishnah up on top, Nuches Amar Alf. So you can do this, but he must make sure that when he takes this walk off to the side to find a narrow point in the canyon, he must make sure that he doesn't leave the tchum area. He must remain within the tchum territory around that city. The Gemara will tell us the reason is because this perhaps can cause confusion. A person might see this surveyor walking along that area, which is really outside the tchum of the city, and conclude from that, hey, that's within the territory. Look, he's calculating that area. This can cause confusion, and therefore, he can only walk over to the side if he remains within the confines of the tchum territory of the city. Now, otherwise, so if he can't adopt this method of mavliya, we have another method, an alternate approach, which is also based on this concept of merely calculating airspace. If he can't be mavliya, bezu amar abidoy stai mishur barbiyane mishur meir, So the story of Yane quoted, he said in the name of Meir, that the proper method here would be as follows. Shemati, I heard, Shemekadrin Baharim. Mekadrin literally means boring through, we drill through the mountain. Now, it doesn't literally mean boring through, it means that he's going to calculate the mountain's airspace only. So Gemara describes this as two people using a short rope, 4 amos long, and they keep it level. They climb up this tall mountain, this steep mountain, somehow managing to keep the rope level, more or less level. Gemara says that the person, there's going to be two people, one behind the other. So the person on the low portion of the mountain keeps the rope up high, above at the point of his heart. And the person up ahead, who's already higher up on the mountain, will keep the rope down by his feet. This will ensure more or less that the rope is kept level. So this is the way they make their way up and down this mountain, basically taking into account only the airspace of the mountain, not the actual surface area of the incline itself, which is not necessary, since it's not a proper makam hiluch. So in short, we learned that the chevel used to measure the tchum is meant to be 50 amos long. We meant to keep it keneged liboy. If you encounter a steep incline, a canyon, or some sort of elevated steep surface, some heap of stones, a mountain, in that case, there's no need to actually measure the surface area of that thing. You merely calculate the airspace. We have two methods: either mavliya, you run a rope across it, or the concept of mekadrin, where you take a short rope and you keep it level and go up and down this landmark. Continues the Gemara. Menana Mili, how do we know that we're meant to use a 50 amma rope? Amar bidam arav, dam akra, oirecha chatzar, mea ba'amma. The pasuk is describing the dimensions of the chatzar around the Mishkan, 100 amas long, v'roichav, how wide? Chamishim b'chamishim. It's 50 amas wide. Why does the Torah repeat the word twice? Chamishim b'chamishim? Amra Torah. The Torah is telling us, bechevel shel chamishim amma medoit. When you measure territory, you're meant to use a rope 50 amas long. So, if the halach of tchumen is only the rabbanon, so either this is a smachta, a support for this concept, but also, as the Nefarshim point out, we have other situations where the Torah requires measurements, as we're going to see later in the Gemara. And Torah here is teaching us we're meant to use a rope which is 50 amas long. Says the Gemara, but this pasuk is unavailable. Hami boile. We already need this pasuk for something else. Little chamishim, l'sav of chamishim. To teach us the size of a non-residential enclosure, a karfif that we discussed in Afnan Zayin. How large can this karfif be and still be considered a properly enclosed area? So we learned that it's a maximum of 70 and 2/3 amma by 70 and 2/3 amma. How do we get to that dimension? We take the shear of the Chatzar Mishkan, which was 100 by 50, and the pasuk here is telling us, Litol Chamishim, Ulasav Chamishim. We cut off 50 from its length, because it's 100 by 50. We cut off that 50 from its length. So now we have two cubes, 50 by 50. We take one of these 50 squares, square of 50 by 50, and we form it into a strip of land around the other 50, this results in a territory of 70 and 2/3, or 70 and 2/3. Litol chamishim, we take the 50, l'sav chamishim, and to surround the other 50 with that, which gives us the results of 70 amas. So the pasuk is coming to teach us that. How can we use it to indicate the shear of the chevel? Says the Rambam Kain, if the pasuk would only be coming for that, le'makro chamishim chamishim. My chamishim ba chamishim. Torah could have just said chamishim chamishim, which will indicate we take the 50 and we surround the other 50. Why chamishim ba chamishim? That's coming to tell us, how do you measure territory ba chamishim by using a chevel, which is 50 amas long? Shamas minotarti, indeed, both things can be derived from this pasuk. Lo yipachas v'lo yoyser, so the rope is meant to be exactly 50, no less or more. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Why? What's wrong with a bit longer or a bit shorter? You can't use a shorter rope because it increases the size of the territory. Rashi explains, it's easier to pull a short rope tout, to stretch it, which will result in a larger size territory. So therefore, you can't use a shorter than 50 amma rope, below yoyse, nor can you use a longer one, meshumim might, because a longer rope is more difficult to stretch. So this will result in a smaller size territory. I meant to use a rope exactly 50 amas long, meaning the fact that the Torah tells us that the properly sized rope for measurement of territory is 50 amas. The Torah here is indicating to us, I want the results of this measurement to reflect the nature of a 50 amma rope. Therefore, you can go ahead and substitute it with a different size rope. Amar Abasi, what about the material of this rope? A moidedin el bechevel shelav faskima. The chevel is meant to be made from this faskima material. Maya faskima, what is this? Amar Baba, nargila. It's nargila. My nargila. Amar Yaakov, dikla de chad navra. It's this. This chad navra is a fiber, this single fiber that runs around, grows around the palm tree, and you fashion the rope from that material. So I'm meant to use a faskima, which is actually this material. Ikedamri, there's another version, that there was actually a difference of opinion how to accurately describe this faskima. Maya faskima, Rabbi Abba Amar Nagila, that's what it is. Some say it's referring to a fiber which grows around a nut tree. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Dikul Chad Navra is referring to the material growing on the palm tree. So according to the second version here, there's a machlek is how to describe Afas Schema, is it this or that? In contrast with this first version, we all agreed, there was no machlek, the question was, what words to use to describe the material, but all agreed that it's referring to the fiber around the palm tree. So in any case, according to this approach, the chevel is meant to be formed from Afas Schema, whatever that means. That's the shita of the Gemara up until now. We're going to have another shita which disagrees. Tanya, we know it in the Brayis, Omar Rabbi Shobhan Hanani, Ein lecha sheyofa lemedida, yoyser mishal shaloi shel bazel. You know, there's no better rope, no better tool to use for surveying territory. No better than a chain, a metal chain, which is a non-fluctuating entity, doesn't stretch, and you have accurate results. Aval ma nase, but what should we do? Sharei Omar Torah. Who the Torah says, "Ubiyadai chevel mida." So the Malach there, who was measuring the third base of Migdash, he had in his hands, he measuring rope. So apparently, that's a proper tool meant to be employed when measuring territory. Voksiv ubiyada ish knei amida. The pasuk says that the person, the ish, was holding the knei amida, meaning a measuring stick, something solid, not a rope. Haulatari. That was referring to measuring the gateways, the entranceways, which are small areas we're meant to use something more solid. But a large area, a territory, that's meant to be measured with using a measuring rope. Apparently, the Torah wants the results to reflect the rope and nothing else. Tanur of Yosef, Shleisha Chavolmeim. There are three different forms of ropes that are employed for measurement, for not just for measurement, for different uses, depending on the context. Shel megeg, a rope made of this reed grass, which is not mekabel tuma. Shel netzer, Rashi has one pshat, it's referring to peeled aravis. Another pshat, it's referring to that fiber which grows around the palm tree. Shel pishtan, made of flax. Which one do we use where? Shel megeg lepara, the one made of reed grass, which is not mekabel tuma, it's a material which can't be mekabel tuma, that's used for the paraduma. The snan, kafsu bechevel hamegeg, they tied the paraduma using this megeg rope, and the sanua, algav marachosa, they placed her on top of the firewood arrangement. Shel netzarm, when do we use a rope made of netzarm? Lesoita, the snan of achach, maybe chevel hamitzri. So chevel hamitzri, mitzri means netzarim, made from this material, and he ties it above her, the isha's dadim, to keep her clothing in place. Shel pishtan, the rope made of pishtan was used lemedida. to go ahead and measure territory. So this sheet of Rav Yosef holds that the material that comprises this rope, which is used for measuring territory, is meant to be pishtan, in contrast with Rav Asi, who tells us earlier it's meant to be afaskima material. So in summary, we learned that the medida of a tchum is meant to employ a chevel of 50 amos. It's meant to be made of either afaskima, the sieve of the decal, the material growing around the bottom of the palm tree, or the chevel shel pishtan. Where is it meant to hold the rope? It's meant to hold it keneged libo, opposite one's heart. This will ensure a level rope at all times, which will achieve accurate results. Continues the Gemara. Hayamaydid v'igir. So the mission tells us his fellow is measuring along, and he encounters a steep incline, whether above surface or below surface. What does he do? He's merely mavliya. He swallows it up. He just runs his rope across, measures the airspace, and suffices with that. Says the Gemara, Midiktani chayzi lemedasei. You may recall that the Mishnah tells us, mavliya v'chayzi lemedasei. What does that mean? He's mavliya and then goes back. Where is he going back to? Mechlal, d'imein yachal avliya, apparently, the Mishnah here is indicating to us, this is what Rashi described earlier, that if he has some difficulty being mavliya, right where he is, so if this fellow left the city and he encounters this wide canyon, wider than 50 amis, which doesn't allow him to be mavliya with his rope, he's allowed to go ahead, follow the canyon's route, find a place where it narrows, where it allows him to be mavliya, to toss his rope across, and he does so. Then he takes a look back across the city and he marks the spot which is directly opposite, corresponds to where he's holding right now, to the point where he has already arrived. And then he goes back to that spot. The Chayzer goes back to that spot which is directly opposite the city and resumes his calculations from there. Tanina lahad tan rabbanon. Our Mishnah supports the following baisa, which also tells us the same thing. Hayamoided v'geyamid legay. If he's in the middle of measuring and encounters this canyon, im yachal avliyay b'chevel shechamishim amma. If he has the ability to be mavliya using his 50 amma rope, mavliya he does so. Vim lav, but if it's wider than that, doesn't allow him to be mavliya. Hoylich lamakam sheyachal avliyay. He just follows the canyon along till he has a spot which allows him to use his 50 amma rope across, and includes it in the rope, and then takes a look back at the area across right in front of the city, marks the location which is directly opposite where he's holding, which corresponds to his current location, and then goes back there to that very spot and continues his calculation from there on. Let's say this canyon took a bend. So let's say this fellow leaves the city. He encounters this wide canyon. He decides, okay, you know, I'm going to make a left turn. I'm going to follow it and see. Perhaps I can find a narrow spot where I can throw my rope across. What happened is that the guy takes a sharp turn. It turns to the left of the city, meaning, let's say he began at the east, and he's following the canyon, it's wide, he can't find a narrow spot on the eastern side of the city. But he sees that off to the left, where the canyon turns around and is now facing the north of the city, over there, it's narrow enough to use the 50 amma rope to be mavliya. Can he do that? No, he can't do that. Why? Because it's going to create confusion. He's going to have to be measuring in that direction and bring it back in this direction. Chum didn't allow it. So that's the Gaimu Ukum described here. It's a bent canyon. In which case, he cannot employ the method of Mavliya any longer. So what does he do there? He goes to the next option, described in our mission, which was the Mikadrin option. Magdir Voile, Magdir V'yoyred. So we take the short form, a rope. We have a person holding it opposite his heart. The fellow who is leading the way, going up the mountain, holds it down below by his feet, which keeps it more or less level. This way, they're merely calculating the airspace of that steep incline. Magdivoyle, Magdivoyle, makes his way up, makes his way down in this manner. Hikielakoisel. Let's say his fellow encounters a very steep wall, which is actually steeper than the landmarks we just described. How steep? We're going to see soon. The Gemara later will tell us exactly how to classify various levels of angles, of steepness. So, in any case, this is a kaisel which is more steep than the landmarks we just described. In which case, it's not really suitable for walking at all. Ein oimrim yikav kaisel. In this case, he doesn't really need to even employ a method of mavliya or a method of mekader. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to bore through the mountain. He doesn't even have to account for the airspace of the steep incline. Chacham employed a leniency. Just estimate it. Take a look at the mountain, estimate the airspace, and move on. Says the Gemara, how can you just estimate? Va'anantnan mavliya v'chayz lomidasay. What is the Mishnah? Meant to be mavliya, to measure the airspace accurately. You can't just estimate things. Ha'asam nichat ha'shmisht. Our Mishnah was speaking about a steep incline, but it was still somewhat usable. It was still suitable for walking on it. So although it's not flat surface, not flat territory, which requires proper, accurate measurement of the actual space of the territory, we just suffice with airspace. But since it was somewhat useful, it was suitable for walking, therefore you need to take into account the airspace accurately. This mountain we just described is a very steep mountain where it's not suitable for walking. It's not nichat ha-shmishta. It's even less convenient than the har we had in our Mishnah. So we're going to see exactly what Engels was speaking about. But it's a step down. It's a less convenient walkway. Therefore, in this case, Chacham applied an even greater leniency. You don't even have to measure it. You can just estimate it and move on. So let's just stop for a second. We have three categories. Three types of measuring territory. We have an area which is surface ground, level ground. You have to measure it properly, inch by inch. You can't just take into account airspace and no more than that. Let's say you have an area which has a steep incline. Since it's not a proper walking area, in that case you don't have to measure the very surface of that incline. Rather, the airspace is enough. What if we have a situation where it's really, really steep, like this steep mountain, which is Lonichat HaShmishta? In this case, you don't even have to measure the airspace, just estimate it and move on. We're going to actually have a fourth category where the angle of the incline is so steep, it's either vertical or almost vertical, in which case, you don't even have to estimate it. You don't have to reckon with it at all. That's coming up in the Gemara. Omar Bidam HaShmo, Loi Shano. This whole halacha of calculating airspace is only when there's an angle which has some form of usefulness to it. It's has some sort of horizontal angle to it. But if it's completely vertical, you don't have to reckon with it at all. Loi Shano Lesh Ein Chut HaMeshkoiles Yer Kinegdei. How do we determine whether or not it's vertical? So we would use this tool, which was used by the builders, a chut ha-mishkel, it's a pendulum. You hang a weight from the bottom of a string, and you take a look at this canyon. You hang it over the edge of the canyon. You see, if the chut ha-mishkel is your kinegdoi, if it's directly vertical, comes straight down, it's not leaning off to the side, the Moshe will tell us, actually, you can lean a bit to the side and still be considered halachically vertical, up until 4 amos. So in any case, if it's more or less straight, then this incline doesn't have to be reckoned with at all. Just ignore it. what do? You go down to the bottom of the canyon and just measure the actual level surface and no more. You don't have to take into account these very steep inclines. This whole halach of calculating airspace of a steep incline is only when the chut ha-mishkolis doesn't hang straight down, meaning it's not vertical. Avol chut ha-mishkolis, you're connected, but if it comes straight down, in which case it's considered to be vertical, so just ignore it. You don't have to take it into account at all. Rather, you go down to the bottom of the canyon and you measure the level surface down below, ignoring the inclines on either side. You do a proper measurement down below and you don't have to reckon with the slopes on either side. So this is the fourth level. We have a very steep incline, a vertical incline, in which case you don't even have to account for its airspace. Continues the Gemara. V'kama imke shel gai. So we learned that if one encounters a canyon, all he needs to do is be mavliyayit, run his rope across it, measure the airspace, and proceed further. As Mefarshim explained for us, the reason is because it's not a proper walking area. Only level ground is considered to be a proper area for walking, a proper tchum. But this type of canyon, due to the fact that it doesn't really provide a convenient walking area, is not really the ikar tchum. Rather, it's bottled tchum. It's subordinate and secondary to the rest of the territory around the city. And this allows us to be more lenient with it. We don't have to actually take into account the surface area of the incline. Airspace is enough. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question. How deep is this canyon for us to provide this allowance? Meaning, perhaps if it's so deep, it's so big, it's too much for us to say that it's bottled to the tchum. It needs to be reckoned with on its own. V'kama imke shel gai. How deep can this canyon be and still allow us to only reckon for its airspace and not its surface space? Amrav Yezv Alpaim, up until 2000. If the distance from the ridge of the canyon going down along its slope is 2,000 less, you're okay. But if it's more than 2,000, it's more than a Tchum Shabbos. It has its own significance, and you can't just be mavatel it, reckon for its airspace, and ignore the reality. You have to go ahead and measure it better than that. So if Yosef sets the limit at 2,000, Esfi Abayi, or Make Kuf, the Brisa sets the limit at 100 deep. So if the canyon is Omei Kuf, 100 deep, V'roichav Nun, and 50 wide, Mavliyoi, then he can do the Mavliya with the rope going across. Vim Lav. But otherwise, meaning if it's, let's say, deeper than 100, a mavliyai, you can no longer be mavliyai. Apparently, the limit is set as 100, at 100, not 2,000. Hu dam akhir. Apparently, Rabbi Yosef is following the other sheet of achirim. Achirim is Rameya. The sani achirim aimrim. Afilu omegal payim. V'roichav nun mavliyai. So Rameya sets the limit as 2,000. He says, even if it's 2,000 deep, and it is 50 wide, which allows you to use the 50 amma rope, then you're okay. So he's following Shita Vachirim, who set the limit at a maximum of 2,000. Ikadami is another version. Omer Yezis, I feel Yasim Apayim. Even if the canyon is deeper than 2,000, you can still include it by just reckoning the airspace. Keman, who's he following? The Lord Katanakama. He's not following Tanakama, who sets the limit at 100. But like Achirim, nor is he following Achirim, who set the limit at 2,000. Or Yezis allows him to exceed 2,000. Says the Gemara, we're speaking about two different situations. Hasam, the Braisa, who sets a limit at 100 or 2,000, is speaking about a canyon which features, although a steep incline, but not so steep, not vertical. In which case, you have to reckon for that incline. And therefore they set a limit at 100 or 2,000. Hasam, she'ein chut ha-mishkolis, you're connected. We're speaking where the pendulum doesn't go straight down. So it's not a vertical incline, therefore it has to be accounted for. Therefore, we have limitations. As opposed to Hacha, in our case, Rav Yosef, who tells us we can simply ignore the incline, you don't even have to account for its airspace, is speaking where it's very steep. B'chut ha-mishkolis, you're connected. Where the pendulum goes straight down, So it's a vertically shaped incline, in which case it doesn't have to be reckoned with at all. Says the Gemara, v'chi ein chut ha-meshkoilis yor k'neg de'adkam. So the Braisa, which sets limits regarding the depths of the canyon, either 100 or 2,000, because we're speaking where the slope is not so sharp, it's not a vertically angled slope. It's ein chut ha-meshkoilis yor k'neg de. The pendulum doesn't go straight down, rather, it veers off to the side. Now, at what point, how much does it have to veer off to the side for it no longer to be considered a vertical slope? Amra abimi dalet. If it pushes away, if it moves 4 amas to the side, that's no longer considered to be a vertical slope. So this fellow is standing on top of the canyon with his pendulum hanging down, and if the slope slopes 4 amas to the side, resulting in the pendulum, the weight on bottom, being pushed over 4 amas from the point where he's holding it, then that's no longer considered to be a vertical slope, and that slope needs to be accounted for, as we discussed earlier. V'chein tani, Rami bar Yecheskel. Likewise, Rami bar Yecheskel related a braisa which said, Dalet, the shear is 4 amas. So if the pendulum hangs a bit to the side, it's still okay, it's still considered to be a vertical slope, up until 4 amis. Once you hit 4 amis, then we no longer consider that slope to be of a vertical nature, and it has to be accounted for. Continues the Gemara, Higil lahar, mavlioi b'choiz l'medasim. So Yerushalayim tells us like this. Generally, a person is meant to actually measure the surface area of the territory around the city, the actual territory, the surface itself. But if he encounters some sort of landmark which is steep and does not really provide convenient access, in that case, it's bottled to the tchum. You don't have to account for the actual surface area itself. Just reckon for its airspace, and you're okay. Employing the concept of mavliya or mekader. So, how steep are we speaking about? Which would allow us to adopt this concept of mavliya. Amar Rava lo yishamu. This allowance to be mavliya is only elabahar mislakit yud mitoch dalet. If you have a hill which is very steep, it is mislakit yud, it rises 10 tefachim off the ground, mitoch dalet, from 4 amis, meaning at the point of 4 amis, you're walking up this hill, as soon as you get to 4 amis of walking, you've already risen 10 tefachim off the ground. That indicates that you've gone up a steep hill. That's not considered to be a place which provides convenient walking, and therefore, it doesn't really have to be accounted for as is. Airspace is enough. You could adopt and apply the concept of mavliya. But if the hill is not as steep as that, it's rather level. Aval bahar mislakd yud mitoich hay. But let's say it only rises 10 tefachim mitoich hay. At the 5 amma mark, you have to walk 5 amas to lift yourself 10 tefachim off the ground, in which case, it's more level. It's not as steep. In this case, we can't apply havlo here. Moidudoy midida yafa. You need to account for it properly and measure the surface area itself. That's according to this version of Rava. He sets the limit at yud mitoch dalet. That's the rise 10 tefachim at the point of 4 amis. Otherwise, considered like level territory and has to be properly calculated. Rav Huna Breid Av Nosson Masni L'Kula. He had a different version, a more lenient version of Rava's opinion. Amar Rava. Lo Yishonu Ela Bahar Mislaket Asorah Mitoch Chamish. When can we apply the concept of Mavliya? Even when it's a more level, a less steep hill, it rises 10 tefachim only at a rate of 5 amas. Meaning, you only rise 10 tefachim when you reach the 5 amma mark. In which case, it's not so steep. Yes, even there, you can go ahead and be mavliyat. Because it's not really a convenient area to walk, and therefore, all you need is the airspace. You don't have to account for the actual surface. Aval bahar mislakat asor mitoch dalet. But if it's steeper than that, you would rise 10 tefachim. Once you reach the 4 amma mark, in that case, You don't even have to properly measure even the airspace. He just estimates it and proceeds further. Okay, let's try to go over the various scenarios, situations discussed in the Gemara, with the different methods of measuring territory, and figure out which one is meant to be applied in which case. So, number one, if we have a flat piece of land, you're meant to measure it properly. No two ways about it. What about the medida of a shipur, of an incline, of an angle? For instance, a har, a gadar, a mountain or a heap of stones, or a guy, this canyon. So, we have four methods of measuring territory. We have medida yafa, proper measurement, surface area without any shortcuts. We have mavliya, you run your rope across it and just account for the airspace. Alternatively, you have the makadar, which is a similar concept, using that small rope, keeping it level while going up and down the mountain, accounting for its airspace. That's method number two. You have the method we just mentioned, which is oindai. You just need to estimate it, and that's it. Then we have a situation where you don't have to calculate the incline at all. It's a very steep incline. Okay, so let's go back. Medida yafa, proper measurement, is meant to be applied when you have a hill, but that hill has a rather level surface. As Rav in the first version tells us, it's mislaket yud tfachem b'toichei amis. So it only rises 10 tfachem off the ground once you reach 5 amas of walking. Since it's not really such a steep angle, Rava in the first version regards it like level territory, and therefore a proper measurement, medida yafa, needs to be applied. Well, what about the next level? Mavliya, makadar, that's applied when you have a more steep incline. So for instance, the angle here is mislaket yud, mitoch dal damis. It rises 10 tfachim at the point of 4 amis, which indicates a more steep angle. According to Rav in the first version, according to Rav in the second version, even if it's not as steep as that, it rises 10 tfachim mitoch hei amis. At the point of 5 amis, you have risen 10 tfachim. That is also considered to be sufficiently steep to allow the method of mavliya or makadar to only account for its airspace and not its actual surface space. What about the concept of oimdai, just estimating? That's in the case where it's even steeper than the scenario we just described. Now, as Tosis points out, this only applies to above surface incline. But if you have a guy, this canyon, below surface, the concept of oimdai will not be applied. You can't estimate it. Tosis explains that a canyon is easy to measure. Just run your rope across it. Therefore, Chacham does not apply this leniency. And finally, the fourth method of calculation totally ignores the incline, whether the surface area of the incline or even the airspace. You don't have to reckon for it. When is that applied? When you have a vertical incline. The chut ha-mishkoilus yared kenegdei. The pendulum goes straight down. As the Gemara tells us, up until 4 amas to the side is considered to be vertical, in which case, it absolutely doesn't have to be reckoned with and not included in the share of the tchum. Continues the Gemara. Uvavashle yetzi chutz ha-tchum. So this fellow encountered a canyon. He runs his rope across it. He's mavliya. Now, let's say it's too wide at this point. We allow him to walk along the canyon, find a narrow space, run your rope across it, and come back. Provided he doesn't exit the tchum area around the city. My time, what's wrong with that? There's a concern that perhaps somebody will cite him out beyond the tchum area and will say, look, this surveyor spent some time there. Apparently, that's still included in the territory of the city. Therefore, to avoid this pitfall, we don't allow him to go out of the confines of the territory around the city. Mishnah tells us, so if he can't do havla, for whatever reason, you go ahead and you apply the concept of mekadrin. How do you do that? You have this short rope. You have two people, one following the other. So the tachten, the fellow who's down below, meaning they're going up a mountain, so the fellow behind, who's lower down, will hold the rope connected to Levi, opposite his heart. Elyon, the fellow going up ahead, so he's higher up, connected to Margulosev. He will keep the rope by his feet, in which case they ensure more or less a properly leveled rope, which will yield accurate results. Again, we're speaking about measuring the airspace of this mountain. Amar Rabbi Naktinan, we have a tradition in Mekadrin El Bechevel Shel Arba Amis. We use a rope of 4 amas in length. So we learned that when it comes to Tchum and Shabbos, we have a incline, a mountain, a canyon. We can merely include its airspace, and that's enough. That's a leniency applied to measurement of Tchum and Shabbos. Amar Nachman, Amar Rav Ravo, you meant to know. This concept of measuring just the airspace is unique to Tchum and of Shabbos, because it's the Rabbanon. When it comes to the calculation of a deuraisa land measurement, you can't employ these methods. Ein mekadrin, we don't do this kidur, we don't account for merely airspace. When we measure territory for the sake of loibeg larufa, so we found a mace out in the open and we want to measure the distance. How far is a city located from the mace? Because the closest city is meant to bring the carbon. So we calculate territory there, or likewise, we don't apply this concept by Ari Miklat. So this person who killed somebody, Bishagi, runs out to the Ari Miklat, which protects him. Not only does the city itself provide a safe haven, but the Tchumen around the city as well. So when we calculate, when we measure the Tchumen around the city, in both these cases, Egla Rufa or Ari Miklat, we don't adopt these leniencies. We don't apply Mavliya or Makadar. Rather, we're meant to measure the actual surface area itself. Why? Because these calculations are Torah-based calculations. And therefore, we can't apply any leniencies. In contrast to our sugya, we're speaking about calculating Tchumen, which is Rabbanan. And over there, the Chacham applied these aforementioned leniencies. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, which told us that when it comes to measuring the Tchumen for Shabbos, we're meant to use a rope, which is 50 amos long. We learned this from a pasuk in the Gemara. The rope is meant to be made of those materials described in the Gemara. And in order for these surveyors to make sure they keep their rope level at all times, the Chacham established that one should hold it opposite his heart. Now, although when it comes to calculating the measurement of flat land, you're meant to take into account the entire surface area, what happens if one encounters a steep slope, whether it's a har, a gadar, a mountain, a heap of stones, or a below surface incline, like a canyon? So there are actually 4 methods to calculate these areas. If it's a rather flat hill, it's mislaket yud tfachim mitoichei amis, meaning it only rises 10 tfachim off the ground once you reach 5 amas of walking. According to Rava's first version, this is regarded like ordinary flat land, requires medida yafa, a proper measurement of the entire surface area. There's the next mode, which is called mavliya, or mekader, where you simply swallow it in. You just account for the airspace, like you take your rope and you throw it right across that canyon. That applies in the case where it's mislaket asor tfachim. The hill rises 10 tfachim, mitoich dalad amis. At 4 amis, you're already 10 tfachim off the ground. This is according to Rabbi's first version. According to Rabbi's second version, he's more lenient. He says, even if it's not so steep, if it rises 10 tfachim at the point of 5 amis, that is also classified as such, and only airspace needs to be accounted for. The third mode, which is called Aimdai, where it merely estimates the airspace. That's in the case where the incline is steeper than the ones we just mentioned. Taisus points out it doesn't apply to a canyon. And with the fourth halacha, which is you could just discount the airspace altogether. That's where Chuta Mishkel is connected, where that pendulum goes straight down or stays within 4 amis, in which case we consider like a vertical angle, and that even the airspace of that incline, of that slope, doesn't have to be accounted for. What if one heads out of the city, begins measuring the Tchum, and encounters this very wide canyon, wider than 50 amma, which doesn't allow him to throw his rope across? He's allowed to take a turn and look for a narrower portion of that canyon, cross over there and come back. But he should make sure he doesn't leave the confines of the territory, the Tchum around the city, for concern that perhaps somebody might spot him there. And as a result, consider that location as part of the Tchum of the city. The Gemara speaks about the maximum depth of the canyon which would allow Mavliya. One Shita says up until 100 Amma. Other Shita says up to 2,000 Amma. But if it's more than that, Rashi explains, you can't be Mavliya by throwing your rope across. You need to employ the concept of Magdir, using that small rope, which takes more into account the surface of the slope. So when Mavliya is not an option, you go over to the other option, Mekadr, using a rope farm as long. You have a person following his friend up the mountain. The fellow on bottom keeps the rope a bit higher. He keeps it opposite his heart. The person up ahead, up the mountain, keeps the rope down by his feet, which ensures more or less a level rope. The Gemara concluded that all these concepts of ignoring the actual surface area and just accounting for the airspace is only meant to be applied over here by the calculation of Tchumen Uchad Rabbanon, as opposed to Egla Rufa or Ari Miklat, which are Torah calculations. In that case, you can't simply ignore the surface space. You must account for the surface area in totality. Measure it up and down the slopes, just as you would flat land.